This scripture lesson for today is a call to a new way of living. It is a call to be a holy priesthood. We find that, we just read it in 1 Peter 2:5. A holy priesthood, a different people who long for that pure spiritual milk. It is a fitting text as the glow of Easter kind of recedes. It's in the background. It's getting further away. It is a reminder that we are called for special work and have been made by God's gracious action in Jesus Christ. We have been made into a new people. You see, today's text leads us to a strong call to the people of faith. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you and I may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called us out of that darkness into His marvelous light. He called us out of the darkness into the light in verse 9. In older translations of this verse, there is an interesting variation on the wording. In the King James Version, it gives us this phrase of God's own people as a peculiar people. While I enjoy the diversity and the clarity of some of the new translations that we have out there today, there is an intriguing meaning in being designated and being called out as a peculiar people. Those people that are different and set apart. You see, the word peculiar is not one that we wear very easily in this world. We don't want people to say, well, Lord, he's an odd cookie and he's peculiar. And I remember growing up, my grandmother said this word that it used to just make my ears hurt. She'd say, they're different. You know how they're different? They're right queer. That was the word. Queer folks. Well, that was long before anything happened, but they're right queer. In other words, they're different and they're odd. That's what peculiar means, people. We're different. We're odd. Most of us want to be normal and fit in. We don't want somebody who wants to be peculiar, who wants to be different. There is a town in West Central Missouri named Peculiar. Peculiar, Missouri. Think about that. I have often wondered how it feels to the folks that are born and raised there to say that they are from a place called Peculiar. A friend of mine once served a church that was named Strange. He was the pastor of Strange United Methodist Church, and it was and is something of a joke for the Ministers Association, my friend said, because think about it. How would you like to pastor Strange United Methodist Church? Well, now all of them are strange to a little bit. But to have that name, always, can you imagine what that would be like? Strange and peculiar are terms that we would rather apply to people other than ourselves. Yet this is exactly the label that text asks us to wear today. When one considers the call of Christ to live as a disciple in today's world, there may not be a more fitting label. We Christians are strange folks. And we are peculiar. We love our enemies. We care for the forgotten. And we believe that the last shall be first. Those are things that we're told in the Scriptures that we are supposed to work for and love and do and be. Love your enemies. Care for those people that are the least, the last, and the lost, those forgotten folks. And believe that the last shall be first. You see, these are qualities of a Christian. My goodness. And I ask this question, how many of us have been accused of being a Christian lately? You see, there is a new world, an alternative community that rises out of the pages of the New Testament, which you and I inherit. God offers the church as an alternative community for the world's redemption. You see, this fellowship operates under a new economics that believes people matter as much as profits, that people are just as important as the bottom line. They are the bottom line. This community has a new vision that sees every life as an image of God. Everybody. Each and every one that we see, whether we appreciate them or not, but we're all made in God's image. Here in this fellowship, a dynamic of inclusion thrives in a world that has made exclusion a fine art. This is our call. You see, the world tells us all the time we're supposed to be inclusive and all this stuff, but then on the other hand, what does it do? It does exactly the opposite. It excludes. It puts limits. It puts on everybody. Oh, you can't come in. You don't look right. You don't dress like. You don't act like. You don't walk right or you don't talk right. You can't come. But you see, Christians are different. We're supposed to be different. We practice the ethic of grace in a world that lives by an ethic of law. We embrace cooperation rather than competition. We live aware of the gracious hand of God rather than from a sense that we must have more and more to be happy. This is true because we long for the pure spiritual milk that it says that Christ offers you and I. This diet makes us a different people. It makes us a peculiar, strange group of people who dare to live the life of love in a world that is in love with alienation, competition, and winning. We live in a world that wants it all. It does alienate. It does compete all the time. And we have to be careful. We have to be so very careful. I heard about a mythical village many years ago. I read about it, where disturbing things begin to happen. The people of this village were going insane. They were going crazy. They were just losing their minds. Slowly, madness was taking over and no one knew the cause. After careful observation, the villagers realized that their insanity was tied to the food that they were eating. Something was wrong with their diet and it caused insanity. So the village elders gathered to find a solution. What are we going to do? In the end, they concluded they had little choice but to eat the bad grain and go crazy. It was better to be crazy and alive than to be sane and dead. So this is the world they prepared to bring their people into, to tell their people. But just before the elders were to address the villagers, someone came running up from another village with an announcement. A warehouse of good grain had been discovered. People who ate this grain did not go crazy. They remained sane and sound. The only problem was there was not enough grain for everyone. So the elders gathered once again and considered this news. What to do with what they had? They decided to appoint a special group from the village whose job would be to eat a different diet of good grain. So a group of people got to eat good grain. Then when all of the other villagers who had continued to eat the bad grain had become insane, this group could remind them of what sanity was. Because the elders knew if enough people are crazy, then crazy can begin to look normal. Think about that. You see, our culture has poisoned itself with a bad diet. And that diet is racism and sexism and materialism. They've been our food. Consumerism, anxiety, and speed have become the staples of our diet. We have to go, go, go. We have bought it all. We have raced it all. And we've tried it all. And we've gone mad in the process. We're losing who we are by trying to stay up. In our collective insanity, we must live fearful lives. We must regard the stranger as an enemy. We must send our young off in wars to die. Our children must be denied health care and access to good food and water. There is no question that this is the way that we must live, for we have bought into a corporate insanity that says this is the way of life. This is the way it is. This is the way you do it. But then guess what? Then there is the church. Uh-oh, that's you and me. The community that eats a diet of prayer and scripture and love. We're the ones who're supposed to be doing something about it. This is the different diet that many have not known about, but you and I do. From this diet, we live the peculiar and strange lives that slow what the kingdom of God looks like and shows the world around us what in the world it looks like. That's our job. That demonstrate what servant love is. that claims every life as a precious gift of God. You see, the world looks at the church and says, oh my goodness, you people are crazy. But the church knows better, for it lives a sanity born of love and grace. That's our staples, love and grace. We get it free. It's a free gift. It points to a new way and invites others to the table where the food of love and redemption is served. Oh, the food of love and redemption. It's served to us. You see, this day you, the church, are one strange-looking, peculiar acting community. Aren't you glad you are? You are beautiful to behold as you proclaim the mighty acts of Him who are called you out of the darkness into a marvelous light. God called each and every one of us out of the darkness into the light. Continue to yearn for the pure spiritual milk, that special diet of love and grace. By this you show the world a better way, a different way, a way of sanity that is the way of Christ. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you made us a peculiar people. Thank you, Lord, that we are different. And that people, when they look at us, they'll say, my goodness, there goes somebody who loves the Lord. There goes somebody who really doesn't care if people say they're odd and strange and peculiar. Because they know. And when you know these things in your heart, the things of the world shouldn't matter. The things of the world shouldn't make people so crazy. The things of the world shouldn't just drive people to the point of being bankrupt. To the point of losing everything they've ever had. So that they look right, they feel right. That the world doesn't judge them, they think. But guess what? The world's always judging. So we have to be careful that we don't get caught up in that world. We live in that world, but we help that world. We're the ones supposed to be making a difference in that world. Not letting the world make a difference in this place, but us making a difference. What have we done? What have you given? What have you shown? Are you so full of that love and that spiritual milk and that goodness that you want to exude it from your very being and show it to the world around you? Are we so full of love that we can't help but share it with those around us? Oh, I know sometimes people take things we say and do out of context, or take things that we say and do, or maybe we haven't even done and somebody said we did. Oh my goodness. That's when things get started. That's when things blow up. That's when we make mountains out of molehills. We have to be the one that says, I'm sorry. I had no clue. We're the ones who have to do something about it, not make it worse, not add fuel to the fire, but try to do something about it. So, Lord, each and every day, when you call us to rise each morning, allow us to begin that day serving you and loving you. And let us be called the most strange, peculiar people each and every day. For it's in your name, Lord, I pray. Amen.